On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, welcome to 2010 Decedents and How to Report Taxable Gains on the Sale or Disposition of Property. I'm Bob Keebler, and I'll be your host for today's podcast. By now, we're all aware that individuals that died in 2010 can elect out of the estate tax. When they elect out of the estate tax, however, they will have modified carryover basis. So what might be confronting you on extended returns or returns that you're going to file in the next several days are basically three things. One, for estates under $5 million, you're going to receive the traditional step-up in basis under Section 1014 of the Internal Revenue Code. Nothing has really changed there, and you're going to follow the rules you've worked with for years, so that is very easy. Now, for an estate where you decide, even though it's a $6 or $7 million estate, you might decide not to elect out of the estate tax, but to actually pay estate tax, or maybe you have a large marital or charitable deduction, you're going to receive the same traditional step-up in basis, and then you'll prepare the returns the same way you have for the last 25 years. Now, however, there will be some estates where you've already decided to elect out of the estate tax, say a very large estate. In that instance, you're going to receive what's called a modified carryover basis, which we'll talk about. That's the $1.3 million increase plus the $3 million potential spousal increase. Now, in yet other estates, remember, we have until, in all likelihood, fall sometime to determine what exact election we're going to make. Now, that is not clear. The IRS has yet to issue Form 8939, and once they do, they're going to give us a time frame, say 90 days, to get all these elections in. So we're going to have to be ready to move quickly when that happens. We represent many estates that have this issue from all over the country, and these are tough, tough decisions. But you might be in a situation where you have not made a decision yet. Now, what's so important here is the IRS has issued they've issued a newsletter commenting on Publication 4895. And Publication 4895 is going to specifically provide us with all the details for 2010 deaths. And we'll talk about this notice, but before we do this, let's go through a little bit of background. First of all, for anyone that died before or after 2010, or anyone that dies in 2010 and does not elect out of the estate tax, they are going to receive a traditional step-up in basis under Section 1014 of the Code. Now, you've worked with this for years. And remember, the basis might be the moment I died, or it might be the six-month alternative valuation date, but that's what you're up against. Very straightforward. In those instances, your holding period is always going to be a long-term holding period, okay? So your holding period is always going to be a long-term holding period. Now, for some clients, when you're working with some executors or trustees, undoubtedly you are going to elect out of the estate tax, okay? You're going to raise your hand and say, I don't want to pay estate tax. But the poison you choose when you do that is something called modified carryover basis. And modified carryover basis basically means you get carryover basis, which will be the lesser of the adjusted basis of the property in the hands of the decedent or the fair market value of the property as of the date of the decedent's death. Now, when property, let's just say you represented a gentleman who died at 90 years old, his wife had predeceased him, he had $1 million worth of basis, and he had a $10 million estate. You would not pay estate tax, but you're not going to receive a step-up basis, so his carryover basis would be $1 million. But on top of that, you're allowed to add to his basis $1.3 million of modified adjusted gross basis, and you're allowed to add to that any capital loss carryforwards, any net operating loss carryforwards, and any losses that would have been allowed under Section 165 if the property had been sold at fair market value immediately before the decedent's death. Now, assuming none of the latter three categories, you're going to increase his basis from his $1 million, you're going to add $1.3 million, and he would have $2.3 million of basis. Now, it appears that the executor can allocate that to any particular property. So the executor can allocate that to any particular property, and that is exactly what executors are going to do. Now, on top of that, let's say this gentleman was married, and you elected out of the estate tax, but some property still passed into a trust, could even be a family trust, for the benefit of his wife. In that case, you're going to receive under Section 1022C. So under 1022B, you get your $1.3 million. Under 1022C, you're going to get an additional $3 million for property that passes to your client's spouse. Now, in that instance, that can only be allocated to property that passes to the spouse outright or property that passes in a trust that is, in essence, a Q-tip trust. Now, no Q-tip election is required. So I have a transaction right now where a gentleman died. He had about a $50 million estate, and it's all community property. What we're going to probably do is allocate $1.3 million to the property in the family trust, which is about $20-some million, plus we have to determine what to do with the other $3 million of basis increase. But let's say we add $1.5 million of that to the family trust, and the gentleman who survived, we add $1.5 million to his basis. That's probably how the law is going to work. Now, because the IRS has not issued guidance yet, they're in this publication, in the form of publication 4895, and they'll probably put out a notice that's a little bit more binding. But at the end of the day, they haven't given us direction. Now, what some property does not receive a step-up in basis, that's really not much different than what we've had in the past. IRD does not receive a step-up in basis under either 1014 or 1022. Under 1022, property which the decedent received by gift within 3 years does not receive a step-up in basis, and property in a foreign personal holding company, a DISC, a foreign investment company, or a passive foreign investment company does not receive a step-up in basis. Now, there are some exceptions to the property that receives a step-up in basis, and this will require more thought and planning on your part. What we need to think about today, though, is the IRS has not issued Form 8939, okay? They have not issued that form, and that creates problems for people that are filing 1040s and 1041s. You simply may not know whether or not an increase in basis is going to be allocated to property you receive. So someone could have died in January. They may have already distributed property, which your client sold in sometime in November or December, and you do not know how to prepare those tax returns. Or you could be representing the executor or trustee who has sold property and doesn't know quite how Form 8939 is going to work, and they're not sure where they're allocating property. Worse yet, perhaps they're not absolutely certain what election they're going to make. So what the IRS did in this notice, and it's out on the LISI website, but basically they said that as of April 18th, the filing deadline, you as a taxpayer, you're representing the taxpayer, may not know whether the executor of an estate is going to be allocating basis to the property you received, okay? And if you sold the property in 2010, you still need to file an income tax return and pay your taxes by April 18, 2011. The IRS said in these circumstances, if you owe additional tax because the estimate turns out to be incorrect, so you thought the basis was $1 million, where in reality the basis was only $500,000, in that case, the IRS is going to give you relief from the penalties if the estimate is based upon a reasonable interpretation of the law. However, interest is still going to be charged, so we need to make every effort to pay that in. With money market rates so low and the government charging quite a bit more interest than you're going to earn in your money market account, you really want to make sure you're cushioning that. What this did, though, it doesn't give you penalty relief. So again, be very careful about that. Now, the other thing that's out there is the exact wording of this. Clearly, the spirit of this newsletter is that anyone that's in this situation, a trustee, an executor, or an individual, would be able to make a good faith effort to comply with the law and not be penalized. However, the exact wording of this, the way I read it anyway, uses the word you. And unfortunately, we're not sure what, if you refers to executors and trustees. In all likelihood, it should. That's the spirit of what's going on here. But the precise wording leads me to believe that an executor or trustee should be a little bit more cautious than an individual and make sure they're doing everything they can to cushion these estimates. So what do we know so far? We know that Form 8939 is going to come out soon. Probably 90 days after that form comes out, you'll be required to file it. You undoubtedly will be able to get an extension. And you're going to have to do some very careful analysis of what election you need to make. So there's a lot going on here. The important part of this publication, at the advanced page of the publication, is that some relief is going to be available if you have not made the proper estimates. Certainly the position I would take, whether you're a trustee, an executor, or the individual that received the property from a decedent. So basically, that's where we are today. We're waiting for Form 8939 to come out. And when it comes out, Lineberg Information Services, of course, will update you quickly. And on behalf of Lineberg Information Services, I'm Bob Keebler, and thank you for joining us today.